Tonight I'm continuing what I started off last week, and it's based on Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, and I'm going to read that verse again. And it says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." And on last week, I was talking about that scripture is not based on just our carnal wants, our desires, but it's based on what God has spoken. It's based on His promise, and the promises in His Word. And we know that from Scripture, when God's promised something, He's the one that's going to perform it. So we know that when we're quoting those things, it's based on His promise. It's based on His Word, what He has spoken. It's not something that we have come up with on our own. No, something, I wish I had this, I need this. No, it's based on something God's spoken, whether it be through His Word or something He's spoken to us personally. He's spoken in our heart. We know that's the Lord. We know we got something to stand on, His promises. And we saw several places in the Word where God made a promise. He made a promise to Abram, right? He made a promise about the Messiah. He made a promise about the Holy Spirit. And we see that God spoke something, and then it took someone believing that promise. And we went on to say that when we are calling those things which do not exist as though they did, it's not based on our emotions. And a lot of times we can get emotional, even when it comes to the promises of God. And that can be a big hindrance or big stumbling block in our life when we go based on how we feel. Well, I don't feel like it's happening. I feel like it's taking too long. Oh, my body says it's not happening. You know, the Word says, He has promised me in His Word, by His stripes, I've been healed. But my body says something different. So we go by that. We get emotional. We get depressed. And we start to say, it's not working out. And that can be a big hindrance, even though God's promised, even though He has said, this is already done. I've already made provision for you. And that could hinder the promises from coming to pass in our life. Because we go by how we feel. We go by our emotions. And we said, Abraham was a good example. He had many instances where he could have allowed his emotions to get in the way. First of all, he could have allowed his emotions to get in the way when it came to initially when God told him the promised child was going to come through him and Sarah, right? He could have said, my body's dead. I'm too old. But the Word says otherwise. He didn't consider his body. He considered the Word of God instead of his body. There's another instance where when he did receive the promised child, right, and God told him to go up to the mountain and sacrifice the promise, and he could have gotten emotional. What is this? What is God telling me to do? He gave me a promise now to take away the promise, right? But we see that Abraham loved God more than the promise. And we have to get to that point in our life where it's, Lord, I love you no matter what. And Abraham just, he feared God. He honored God. And, he didn't get emotional. I didn't see, there's some movies that depict this scenario with Abraham taking Isaac up the mountain. So Abram's so tormented and he's emotional. That's not what the Word says. Because we saw Isaac ask him, Dad, where is the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide. And that tells me of someone who was just persuaded of who God was. Confident of the God he served. That he was going to come through. And no matter how it came about, even if he had to sacrifice his son, it was going to be okay. God's going to take care of it. And I think that's the way we need to be in our life when it comes to calling those things. Sometimes, we allow how our feelings and emotions to get in the way of what God is wanting to do in our life. And I said, emotions are not necessarily a bad thing. What I mean by that is, I'm not saying God wants us to be robots, walk around unfeeling, hard. No, that's not what God wants. If we've been a mean person, I'm talking to Christians here, if we've been mean, if we've been, have outbursts of wrath, God wants us to realize, something is wrong. And we need to go and apologize to whom we've hurt, right? When it comes to emotions, God wants us to know it needs to be in line with His Word, right? It needs to be in line with His Word. Our emotions need to be in line with His Word. How we feel, okay? So God, you know, like when it comes to love, right? He wants that love to be in line with His Word, that love we have, not self-seeking. It'll be His type of love, in line with His Word. So I went through many examples where, you know, if you don't have emotions in line with the Word of God, you'll be like a roller coaster, up and down. One minute you're, oh, I'm excited in the Lord. Next minute I'm so depressed, and why is nothing ever working out for me, right? Even though we may be quoting Romans 4:17, even though we may be, so we believe in the promises of God. But if we allow our emotions to dictate our life, we'll be like a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And the word goes on to say, let man think he'll receive anything from God. And God hasn't given, but you're not going to receive because you're not sure who you are from one minute to the next, of who you are in Christ. Right? We've spoken many times in this group about knowing your true identity, who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what Christ has provided for you. But if you go through life up and down, like, you know, a mad person, so to speak. I don't know who I am. I'm lost. Okay? We need to be get into agreement with God's Word. Have emotions in line with God's Word. Right? Because that could hinder us from receiving the promises, walking into our promised land. Right? Just like with Moses. He took things into his own hand. Instead of listening to the Word of God and doing what God had told him to do, he allowed his anger at the Israelites to get the better of him. And instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. Right? And what did God say? Because you didn't believe me. Right? He allowed his emotions to get in the way, and that hindered him from entering the promised land. And sometimes, you know what? We could be the same way. Allow anger at people, whatever it is, you know, to hinder us from walking in what all of God has for us. Maybe it's, if you're in a marriage situation, you maybe have resentment towards your spouse. You're hindering what God wants to do. You know, that there could be a big stumbling block. God doesn't want us to have that sort of attitude, right? He wants us to have His heart, no matter how justified we think we are. You know, we can say Moses was justified. My goodness, these people over and over, God kept bringing them through. Keep providing, and they kept complaining and griping. Gosh, I understand why he was angry. But God didn't see things that way, right? No, and I also give another example of Abraham. I don't want to reteach last week, but I just want to bring out these few important points. That with Abraham, he got emotional at one point and did his own thing, right? Ishmael. And I said, sometimes we blow it too. And we may have the temptation to say, oh gosh, I blew it. God's done with me, right? I've heard people say that. God's done with you. You messed up, right? And we'll receive that lie from the devil. God's never done with us. He loves us so much. He's long-suffering. He's merciful. That's the kind of God we serve. So even when we mess up, He wants us to, yes, of course, realize our mistakes. But then we need to get our eyes back on Him and press forward. And that's what I love about Abram. God called him His friend because he didn't allow this big mistake, which we're still seeing today, to allow him to sing, getting all depressed and say, oh God, he must be down with me. Look what I did. No, he picked up and he kept moving forward and kept on believing, and the promise came. So we don't need our emotions to mess us up in whatever area. It always needs to be in line with the Word of God. You know, believing is not based on how we feel. We need to remember that. Believing is not based on what we feel. Because you know what? You know, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen this, you know, you're in church and the pastor preaches an awesome sermon and gets you excited and you're like, oh, I believe. And then you go home and something contrary happens, like, oh, I don't know if I believe, you know? It's not based on how you feel, okay? It's based on the Word of God, which is consistent. You know that? The Word never changes. We change from moment to moment, it seems like. That's why our believing is not based on how you feel. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, reading from verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And what I want to point out here is in verse 9, what does it mean that we don't need to grow weary? You know, why? What does it mean not to grow weary in well-doing? Well, in this case, I'm thinking we're talking about concerning what I'm speaking about. We don't need to get weary considering the word, believing the word. How many times we get, say, well, you know, I've been standing on the word, I've been speaking the word. I'm just so tired. Nothing's happening. Don't get weary in well-doing, in doing good. Standing on the word of God, trusting the word, believing the word. That's why it says in Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word day and night, and then you will make your way prosperous. Right? We do not need to get weary believing, considering the word of God. We don't need to get weary in, we don't need to waver at the promises of God through unbelief. Amen. You know, when we waver, that means we're getting weary. We're getting weary. And we don't need to get weary. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to 12. It says, therefore, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see they had a hardened heart. How did this happen? A hardened heart. Because they considered the things that they were seeing, they considered the natural more than what God was saying. That's how unbelief comes. When we start considering all what the world is saying, all what our eyes are saying, all what we feel more than what the word is saying. And what happens is that we consider that more. And we develop a hardened heart towards the things of God. And God said, in this passage we just read, it said, you have not known my ways. When we start considering the natural more than what the word is saying. So we need to consider things that in the word of God. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a, you know, short scripture. But no, that's the essence of the Christian life. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not what we see. Not how we feel. That's why God gave us his word. Because his word doesn't, you know, every day when we go to the word of God, it doesn't change. You know, it's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's constant. He said, I'm a God that changes not. And that's what we need to base our faith on. Because, you know, he knows us better than anybody else that things are constantly changing, right? And he wants us to base our faith on his word. He needs us to be unwavering. That's why he said, consider my word. Meditate on my word day and night. Because he knows how from day to day the enemy throws things at us. That's why he wants us to get our focus on the word of God. Amen. But if our focus is always on the natural, what's going on out there, well, that's the way our life is going to go. Even though we may be quoting the scriptures, right? Because that's going to have more power. What's going out here, how we feel, it's going to have more power in our life than what the word is saying. You know, in order to operate in Romans 4:17, we must only consider the word of God. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 22. Let's go there. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 20. 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. It says, incline your ear to his sayings. What does that mean? Mean is more than just, okay, I read my verse for today and we just walk away. No, that's incline your ear. Give attention. That's meditating on the word day and night. And what does it say? It'll bring health to your flesh. Because you know what? The more you spend time in the Word of God, that's what's going to come out of you. Even when the contrary winds of life blow, that's what's going to come out of you. When your body aches, if you've been maintaining the Word of God concerning healing, that's what's going to come out of you. Buddy, you're healed. In Jesus' name, I'm restored. I'm whole. That's what's going to come out of you. Amen. So that's why he said, give attention to it, because it's going to bring, you want health in your body? Give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my saying. You know, whatever we're focused on is the direction we're going to go. That's true. It's supposed to be what we're focused on, you know. So whatever we're focused on is the direction we're going to go. It's like the word says that a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what am I saying? As we focus in the word more and more, that's when it's going to come out of our mouth. But you know, we can truly tell what we've been focused on. You know, I say we can say all the right things, but if we're not filling our hearts with his word, when our back is up against a wall, is what comes out, we're gonna know. Is it unbelief that's going to come out of our mouth? Or is it what God's word is saying is going to come out of our mouth? Or when we feel it's taking a long time to come, what's going to come out of our mouth? Right? What direction are we going to go? So if we're focused on the word, we're going to allow it to guide us. We're going to allow it to dominate our actions. We're going to allow it to dominate our emotions. Right? I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, these feelings come. I feel like a failure. But what do we do with that? Do we embrace it? Or do we say, no, that's not what the word says I am. It's not what God says I am. He says I'm accepted. So no matter who says what about me, right? His word says this about me. But you know what? What if we've not been spending time in the word? What are we going to do? We're going to embrace that and receive that and allow that emotion to carry us. And we're not going to walk in that promise, in his word that says that you're accepted and beloved. Right? We're not going to see that in operation in our life. That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's why we have to be considered the word of God. We have to be focused on the word of God. Now Galatians chapter 5, let's go there. And verse 16. Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So here it's saying that if you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh, what is that talking about? Well, anything that's contrary to the Word of God, anything that speaks against the Word of God, you need to walk in the Spirit. And what is walking in the Spirit? Walking according to who you are in Christ Jesus. Walking according to the word of God. Setting your things on the things that are above. Amen. Walking according to the Spirit. Right? Look at it. If you look down, it says, and these are the works of the flesh. Right? Adultery, and it goes on idolatry, hatred, outbursts of wrath, to mention a few. Does that sound very emotional to you? Right? When somebody walks in adultery, what do you say? Well, you know, I felt, right? I felt this way, right? I couldn't help myself. I heard someone say, I couldn't help myself, you know? Well, that's emotions dominating you, rather than the word dominating your life. And the word is saying, you know, walk in the Spirit. And you wouldn't go in that direction, right? Some people say, I can't help it. I have a strong temperament. I get angry. I can't help myself. Yes, you can. The word says so. Walk in the Spirit. Because if you go down, say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, all of that. We all have that on the inside of us. And the word says, you can walk in that. It's yours. It's who you are. Right? But we need to walk in the Spirit. You know, Romans 8:6 says to be carnally minded is dead, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And also, you know, whatever we're focused on is going to, you can see it in what we say. What are you speaking? Right. Right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right. So we're calling those things, right? Remember that? We're calling those things. But what's coming out of our mouth? It doesn't matter if for 1 minute we call those things according to the word. What's happening the rest of the time? What are we saying out of our mouth? Right? It has to be consistent, lined up with the word of God. You know, in Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, it's talking about speaking to a mountain. Right? Well, how are you supposed to speak to your mountain, right, if you're not in the word of God? Because you know what's going to, you know, eventually what's going to come out of you? What's really there? And if you're not being in the word, if your mind's not set on the word of God, what, how your flesh is going to be, you're going to be speaking, oh, this situation will never work out. I'll always be in debt. All right? My business will never turn around. Oh, I'll never get ahead. That's what's going to come out of you. But if we fill our hearts with His word, His promises, we're going to say, you know what, Lord, you're a good God. You love me so much. And I don't care what it looks like. Thank you, God. I can look to you. I can trust you. And that's what's going to come out of you consistently. But, you know, take note. It's good to do a self-check. Listen, you know, you're the first one that hears yourself when you speak. Listen. What's coming out of my mouth? It'll tell you where you are. Not to beat yourself up, but sure, you know what? That's what I really believe, don't I? I need to get into God's word. I need to renew my mind, right? So that's good. That's good for us. We just do some self-check. What's coming out of our mouth? So whatever we consider is what we'll empower in our life. Whatever we consider is what we're going to empower. Are we considering what the TV is saying more than what the world is saying? You know, sometimes the news paints this bad picture of how the world is going, right? How bad the economy is. And there's so many, like, believers in America, maybe here too, you know, oh, the economy is bad, bad, bad. You know, things are so bad and we'll never get ahead, right? You're listening to what the world is saying, but you know what? We need to consider what God's word is saying about us. We don't live according to this kingdom. We live according to His. Our Heavenly Father, He owns everything. And we need to get our eyes on what His word is saying about us. Amen. That's how He wants us to live, with our eyes on Him. Saying, you know, God, I trust you. I don't care. Right? You know, just like Elijah, you know, God provide with the ravens. God, we have to have that heart. God, doesn't matter. You will provide for me. It's going to be okay. We don't need to be panicking like the rest of the world and being anxious like everybody else. Then what difference would there be between us and those, the unbelievers out there? There needs to be a difference, right? That's why we need to consider His word. And when we consider His word, we'll empower that word in our life, right? So we need to be focused on His word. You know, when we are focused on the negative, it leads to depression. Tell me now, if you're honest with me, there's no time you've been depressed, you're thinking about the goodness of God. You're not thinking about how good God is when you're depressed. You're thinking about everything that's wrong, right? Am I not right? Because we're focused on that. We're focused on the negative. So if we want to experience joy and peace in our life, And that peace that passes all understanding, we need to be focused on the Word of God. Get our eyes on His Word. Not like the Israelites, who this everything in the natural, they were focused on, so they were complaining and grumbling. We need to get our eyes on Him, on His Word. And say, Lord, you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to get my eyes on you. If I'm not happy now, God, it's because my eyes are not on you. Because your word says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. So I need to get my eyes on you. I need to get in the word. And then go by, if, oh, I don't feel like praising God. Praise Him anyway. Start rejoicing because He is a good God. He's an awesome God. So why was Abraham, as well as other men and women of faith, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11 mentions, go through a long list of men and women of faith. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm not going to read all of it. It's from verse 30 to 39. But it's just talked about how they went through so many things. Say in verse 34, you know, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. So it talks about all these, the men and women of God, they went through all sorts of tribulation, right? And yet through it all, they didn't stop believing God's word, right? They didn't waver at the promises of God. And in verse 39 says, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So in all of this, this whole thing here, say that even though they believe God, their promises made, and even though some of them didn't see the fulfillment of the promise in their time, they were unwavering. They didn't stop believing. They didn't stop trusting God. Even though some of them died, right, they were put to death for believing in Christ. Didn't stop believing. Right? Some were thrown to the lions. Didn't stop believing. And it said here that they didn't waver at the promise. Even though some of them didn't receive the promise in their lifetime, they could stand strong because they had a revelation of the character of God. Think about that. They had a revelation of the character of God. You know how we can stand strong in God's promises? We'd have a revelation of who God is, His nature. Who is He? Right? Sometimes we think God is like our fellow human beings, you know, who changes from day to day. You know, sometimes people make promises to us and they break them. But that's not the God we serve. And here's a few points to consider when we're considering the character of God. And number one, He never breaks His promise. He never breaks His promise. Psalm 89, verse 34. Psalm 89, verse 34, it says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. That's what He said. He will not break His covenant, and He will not alter the words that has gone out of His lips. You know, sometimes you meet someone, oh, I didn't really mean it that way. You misunderstood me. Right? But that's not what God said. You can take God at His word. Right? So God never breaks His promise. Another thing is, God does not lie. God does not lie. Let's go to Numbers 23, verse 19. Notice, anytime we get anxious, it tells me that we think God's probably not going to come true. That maybe He's somehow, you know, He's going to break His promise to me when we get anxious. But in Romans 23, verse 19, it says, Numbers 23, verse 19, says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? That's what His word says. He does not lie. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. So it's saying here is that even though you may be walking unbelief and you don't see the promises of God in your life, it's not God. He's true. He's true, right? So even though you may not see the power of God operational in your life, doesn't make God a liar. That means we're not believing. That means we're not trusting Him. His word says He is faithful. He does not lie. He doesn't break covenant with us. Amen. Sometimes people don't like to hear that. You mean the responsibility is on me? Yeah. Because He's done everything. He's made provision. Amen. At the cross, He accomplished everything for us on the cross. All we have to do is believe, trust Him, right? And whatever He says he will do, He will do it. Another verse is in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It says, He's not slack concerning His promises. I remember when, many years ago, when Sean and I were getting married and we were just facing a tough time financially, and God had already spoken to me how He was going to provide, and all of a sudden this fear came into my heart, but God said, no, I'm not slack concerning my promises. So yes, God, I will trust you. I will believe you. And you know what? Everything came to pass because I choose to believe His promise. But what if I had said, what if I had gotten into doubt? Okay, what if I start freaking out? It didn't happen. Did that mean it was God's fault? I would have hindered it from happening, right? When I got into fear and unbelief. But because I decided to trust God and believe Him at His word, I empowered Him, I allowed Him to work in that situation. You see how it operates? Okay? So we need to know that He's not slackening His promise. Here's another one. He shows no partiality. He's no respecter of persons. How about that? Sometimes we compare ourselves to other Christians, don't we? Well, things always work out for Sister so-and-so, but not me, right? They must have more of God's favor on their life than me. Have we heard that one? They're more blessed than I am. Or we feel in our heart God must love them more, like God has favorites in the kingdom of God. But it's not the way God works. Okay, God is no respecter of persons. And we see that in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, right? And then Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 and 29, it says in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's encouraging, right? So it's not because, oh, he's a man, or, you know, if she's that nationality, God favors them. No, that's not the way it works in God's kingdom. We are all His children, right? And we don't need, you know, every time we look down at another brother or sister in Christ and we get discouraged, that's wrong. We need to be encouraged. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's my brother and that's my sister. God's blessing them. Man, same for me too. Get encouraged instead of discouraged. Praise the Lord. Anytime now, I'm blessed. I'm His child. I have His favor too. I'm His, you know, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. He died for me too. Amen. But sometimes we hinder. We allow the enemy. We receive the lies of the enemy into our life. And we get discouraged and discouraged and depressed and, oh, nothing works. And all those people, the people of faith that I mentioned, they had a revelation of His love, that He is love. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, it says, in some versions, it says it this way, love does not disappoint or love never fails. And you know what? He is love. So Jesus, who is love, never fails. He never disappoints. Think about that. That's His character. That's His nature. Right? So every time we find ourselves wavering at the promises of God, tells us that we truly don't know His ways. We truly don't know who God is in our life. That's why Abraham, could, for 25 years before he received the promise, he knew God. He considered the word of God day and night. You know why I know day and night? Because you know when he went up the mount to sacrifice Isaac, and the angel called from heaven, and he said, "Your sin shall be as stars and as the sand," right? Well, at night is the stars, at day is the sand, day and night. And believe as he walked in the day, he saw the sand, so shall my descendants be. At night, he looked up in the sky, so shall my descendants. That's considering the word of God, what God was saying to him. And it shows that it had a major impact in his life because, you see, God's speaking the same thing to Jacob, right? Right? He passed it on. That's what God says about our family. They're meditating on the word of God and made their way prosperous because they considered the word of God. They believed God at His word. No matter what came against them, and you can see in the word, many things came against them, right? With Abram, Lot, and he had that you know, parting of ways with Lot. Different things, if you read. With Jacob, different things happened. Family issues, right, came against them. But they believed God at His word. He meditated on His word day and night. And I want to end off, I'm not, this last part talking about, you know, so we said it's not based on emotions. We need to just believe God. We need to consider God's word. But I want to say it's not based on works. Sometimes we get to the point where, okay, we know this. Okay, we have a revelation of who God says we are, who Christ says we are, who we are in Christ. But it's not striving. And I'll explain that to you. Oh, we think if we quote that verse a million times and, oh, yes, yes, then I'll get it. No, it's not a striving. It's not like an anxiety behind the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? It's not, when we quote those things, it's not like we're working for it. So, you know, maybe if I just, I don't know, maybe you've been there where you feel like you're just so anxious. Maybe I missed something somewhere. It's not a striving. Right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So it's by his grace. And what do we know about grace? It's unearned, unmerited, right? It's a gift. Everything, all the promises of God, is a gift. We don't have to work for it. It's not a striving. I remember, boy, when I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whoa, I don't know how to explain it. I was fasting, I was pleading, I was, how to talk about striving, because I was told in the denomination I grew up in, you had to do all these things, you know, to get the Holy Spirit. This promise, this gift, okay, I had to work for this gift. And I never received that gift while I was working. It's only when someone told me it was a gift, I received it. I just believe it, and I received it. Because he already did it. He's saying, it's yours. It's by grace, unearned. You can't work for it. You can't fast for it. Now, I'm not saying you don't fast. I think sometimes when you know, it's good for you. You know, you just, that time we got to hear God clearly about something. There's so many things going on around us that block out what God is trying to say to you. Sometimes the fasting is good. Nothing is wrong with that, right? It's all about the heart, because you know that he's spoken, God, I want to hear you, because your word says, my sheep hear my voice, all from that perspective. Going in already knowing that he's spoken, not trying to get something from God, but you know he's already given it to you. It's not based on works, right? So we know it's by grace, right? It's not by long prayers or fasting or witnessing or good deeds you have God's favor. We know that. Sometimes we think, oh God, Lord, I've been faithful in the church. I've been doing all these things. How come I'm not blessed? Well, it's not based on what you do. It's based on what he's already done. We just have to believe, right? We already have it. We just need to believe. So it's by his grace, his gift. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 says, what shall we say that Abram, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abram was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes in on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So he's talking about, what is it simply we have to do? It's belief. It's not all about what we do, but simply by believing. I know in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it's talking about by grace through faith, right? The only thing we have to do is respond. Respond to that work that God has already accomplished, right? Respond to all that he's already provided. That's God's want, all that God is expecting from his people, right? To believe, that's faith, that persuasion, to be firmly convinced of what God is saying in his word, right? Faith is our positive response to his word. Believing, trusting him. Right? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Right? What do we do when we came to Jesus? We just simply believe. When we say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. All we said was, Lord, I believe that, and we received. Right? We weren't fasting, right? We weren't praying. No, we just said, I believe that. I receive you, Jesus. I believe that good news that you died for me. But what do? God is expecting that with that same attitude, faith, believing, we carry on in our Christian walk. But somehow we've heard wrong that we have to work to receive all that God has provided for us. Right? So in Galatians chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 6, it says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, for in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed would believe in Abraham. Right? So we need just to believe. Believe just like as he did. Distrust God. Right? In Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, and I'm not going to go there. It says, Abram was strengthened in faith. In the New King James Version, he said he was strengthened in faith. What does that mean? Well, to me, strengthened in faith is as he continued to consider the word of God, right? his faith was strengthened. In other words, his faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But every time he looked up or he looked down at the sand, depending on what time of day it was, that was Abraham hearing the word of God, considering the word of God. And more he looked at it, his faith was strengthened. But you know how in other parts said he was not weak in faith? You know how our faith is weakened when we're considering everything else except the word of God, right? So you want to be strengthened in faith? Consider his word. You want to be strong in faith? Consider what God is saying to you, right? It's through grace and faith, believing. And how does believing come? Man, Lord, I will not consider anything else except what your word is saying. Lord, I will hear your word. I will hide your word in my heart. Amen. And we're going to see things happen in our life. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience. Well, we know what faith is. What is that patience they're talking about? It's talking about that endurance, right? You know, sometimes things don't happen just right away. That patience is talking about loyalty to faith in spite of the trials and sufferings that's coming against you. Patience. Endurance. Amen. You know, sometimes that happens. Last year, some things were happening in my body, right? I know the word of God. I know what the word says about healing. And I could just tell you that I was trusting the word, but yet I was double-minded. Okay? And I went to the doctors. I'm nothing against doctors, okay? But yet, they didn't help me. The situation still stayed the same way, right? And I was going on the internet and researching everything there was, and I was consumed. So I was considering that more than what the word was saying. So even though I knew what the word said, as a matter of fact, I was considering more what the internet was saying. So in my mind was, I wonder if it's that. I wonder if I should do this. I wonder if I should try that. You get what I'm saying? So I was so messed up. And then I say, you know what? Do I really trust you, God? Do I really believe you at your word? I had to come to that point. I said, well, I will trust you, God. And I will stop considering my body, what my body is saying. I will stop considering what people are saying. And I just consider what your word is saying. Amen. So every morning, whenever, I would feel pain or whatever, I would say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You restored me. And then before long, I didn't even think about it no more. And then one day I realized, hey, wow, it's gone. Praise the Lord. Amen. I expected it. And that's the way it needs to be, because I got my mind off of what the natural was saying. And I got my mind on what the word was saying. It's that rejoicing, right? And through faith and patience, knowing, man, it's gonna, praise God. This is what I was saying. God, I don't know how long it's gonna, praise God, it's gonna happen. Because you are true. You're faithful. Your word is true. So I don't care what my body is saying or what the internet may say. You are true. Your word is true. And I'm gonna trust you at your word. Amen. And that principle I'm working on in every area of my life. You're true. I'll consider what you're saying, because let God be true, right? And every man a liar. God's true to his word. And that's the way we need to operate in our life. So through patience, right? Enduring, knowing, man, we serve a good God. And God, I will stand in faith. I don't care how long it takes. Amen. 30 years. Sometimes if we say 30 years, that, praise God, you're a good God. I don't care how long it takes, God. Your promises are true. You will never break your promises. We need to trust God. Have a love in our heart for God. Man, we're not there to use him. We're in a love relationship with Jesus. Saying, God, we trust you. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance, that's that patience there, the race that is set before us. So what is that sin, right? Laying aside the sin which so easily ensnare us? Well, that's talking about I believe in Romans 14:23 says whatever is not of faith is sin, right? So they're saying lay aside anything that's not of faith, anything that's not in line with the Word of God. Lay it aside because it's going to hinder us from enduring. It's going to hinder us from running that race, right? Sometimes when we say the word sin, we think, ooh, but it's everything that's not in line with the Word of God. Whatever is not of faith is sin, right? And then James chapter 2, verses 20 to 23 talks about, so we say we have faith, there must be works, demonstration, right? James chapter 2, 20 to 23. James chapter 2, verse 20. Says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abram, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abram believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So we see here, when you truly believe what God is saying to you, you have no problem going where he says to go. You'll have no problem doing what he says to do. You hear what I'm saying? What he says to do and where he says to go, right? You'll have no problem obeying him, right? There's always demonstration with faith, right? If someone says, I believe in Jesus, but yet they go to the temple and they serve idols. Well, that's, they don't really believe in Jesus, do they? Because if we truly have given our life to Jesus, will they repent and turn, right? If we truly say we believe, say, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. I'll believe it. Amen. And part of demonstration of faith is praise. You praise him. You worship him, right? If you believe you're healed, you're walking that. You know what? Lay in bed, right? Remember I gave the example when I was sick and I said, Lord, I believe by your stripes you've healed me. Okay, what am I doing laying here? Okay, I'm going to get up. And I'm told there has to be a revelation, God speaking to you. You have to believe him, trust him at his word. What do I really believe, God? Do I really believe you'll meet my needs? Right? There'll be a demonstration. God, I believe you'll meet my needs. I'm going to give into your kingdom because your word said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't have to be a hoarder. All I have is yours. That comes from, man, God, I have faith. I trust you. I believe in your word. Right? And then last, when we truly believe, we'll be at rest. Right? Remember I said I was at rest. I was just praising God. What the situation I was facing in my body. Man, I wasn't anxious. I wasn't wondering, did I see that scripture? No, I just praised the Lord. You've healed me. You've restored me. You're a good God. I was at rest because I just knew it was a done deal. And I didn't care what my body was speaking to me because it was already done. I wasn't trying to get God to heal me. He already said he healed me. Same thing with blessing. We're not trying to get God to bless us. He said, you're blessed. The word said he delights in the prosperity of his servants. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of God we serve. He says, he's saying you're already blessed, but we need to rest in it. Right? Listen to his voice. What is he telling you a step to take? Do it. Trust him. Right? Be obedient to his voice. But that shows that you truly trust him at his word, what he's telling you to do. Right? And let's end up with this scripture, Hebrews chapter 4. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Order the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see that? Even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world, in our case it's the same thing. Everything has been done. Everything has already been provided. Right? When you do not enter his rest, you come short of it. You come short of the provision. You come short of the promises. Right? So we need to enter his rest. I do not explain entering his rest to you. It comes by revelation, trusting in him. It's just like, there's no anxiety involved. It's just like, wow, praise God. It's just, You know, it's not, this is just a peace you can't explain. I'm just at peace. All hell is breaking around, loose around you, but praise God, you just know everything's going to be all right. And you know when you're in rest. You know, because you just, maybe I didn't do this, maybe I missed something here. Well, God's going to show you. If you're abiding in Him, He's going to show you. If you're delighting in Him, He's going to show you. He loves you that much. Trust Him. So, Romans 4:17, calling those things which do not exist as though they did. It's pretty simple. We just got to just believe Him. Trust Him. Don't go by our emotions, how we feel. Go by what He says in His Word and just enter His rest. Amen?
Amen.